The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Sam Livingston, and I will be your host for today's show. At the Feast of Tabernacles in 2016, Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury indicated that he believed Donald Trump would become the next president of the United States. This was just a few weeks before the election in November of that year. And he based his comments on a prophecy found in the 7th chapter of the book of Amos, a prophecy about an end-time Jeroboam leading Israel. This is what he said in that sermon on October 17, 2016. He said, "Even though Mrs. Clinton is leading in the polls, I would suspect she would not be winning. But I don't know. There is a Jeroboam there," talking about Amos 7. He said, "It's pretty explicit when it talks about Jeroboam. And so if you look at Mrs. Clinton's political beliefs, she wants to restrict religious freedom. And here's Mr. Trump on the other side who doesn't know anything about religion, but he's leading the religious people of all things. How do you explain that? What is this all about?" If you remember back to that time, it was a surreal time leading up to that election and right afterwards. Donald Trump was not in any sense a religious person. He's been in the public spotlight for decades. And in just a few weeks after Mr. Fleury's sermon there in October, Mr. Trump went on to win 80% of the evangelical vote. What a strange combination. And it's an amazing thing to witness and to explain. It's even more amazing when you know Bible prophecy and when you know what the Bible says about the leader of Israel in this end time, the leader of modern Israel, the modern descendants of Israel, and that's the United States and Britain. Soon after the feast, November 12th, 2016, in another sermon, Mr. Fleury said, I thought I would just like to follow up on something I said in one of my messages. I mentioned since there is quite a lot going on about the election around the country and the world, a lot of people were taking note of this, and that includes people just about in every nation on this earth. But I did comment at the feast that the polls showed that Hillary Clinton was ahead, but I did tell you that I was leaning toward Mr. Trump, and the reason I said that was I believed that we were entering into that Amos 7 time frame. And so what does it mean if we are in that time frame? We're in the Amos 7 time frame now. And these messages, they revolved around the Feast of Tabernacles that year, obviously, in 2016. So I thought it would be appropriate to revisit this subject almost exactly 3 years ago, or 3 years from that time. And on this show, I'd like to go through some of Mr. Fleury's blockbuster articles on this subject from over the last 3 years, sort of like a best of program. And he's written quite a bit on this subject. And I think that reviewing these articles and pairing them up against events as they're happening will really help strengthen our faith. And it will powerfully illustrate that you can only understand these events happening in the United States with God's word. Republicans, Democrats, neither of them have the answers. And what fascinating times we're living in. Politics has never been more intriguing. But what does all of this mean? What is happening in the United States and Britain? Reviewing these articles from Mr. Fleury will help us. The timeline is astounding when you pair them up against the events as they happened. Let's go ahead and start with Mr. Fleury's November 23rd, 2016 coworker letter. This was written shortly after the feast, and I thought it was interesting in going back and collecting these articles. It was neat to look at the list. You can see it on the Trumpet website of the articles that Mr. Fleury's written over the past 3 years. And it's the Jeroboam end and the Holy Roman Empire. You see these two subjects mentioned a lot. And again, both of these trends only make sense. You can only explain them if you understand what the Bible teaches about them. So let's go ahead and set the stage here and just briefly go through Amos 7 and Mr. Fleury's coworker letter. Amos 7 and verse 7 says, "Thus he showed me," and this is Amos speaking, "and behold, the Eternal stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand." Mr. Fleury wrote in that November 23rd coworker letter, "A plumb line is usually used in measuring a building or construction, but God uses it differently here. This is about measuring the destruction that is to come upon the nations of Israel. This destruction is not random. God is measuring it carefully and precisely, and it will bring about the most wonderful results imaginable." Remember that theme throughout this program, and when you look at events happening in the United States, this destruction is not random. These events are not just happenstance. God is measuring carefully and precisely. These events do have meaning. When you look out at the way the world is responding to it, there's so much anger, there's so much rage, there's a lot of depression on one side, there's a lot of anxiety. Perhaps on the right, there's a lot of excitement because their man is in office, but neither of them can explain what is happening right now in the United States. Continuing on here in verse 8 of Amos 7, "And the Eternal said unto me, Amos, what see you? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Eternal, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more." Mr. Fleury writes, "We are entering the last time God will pass by the people of Israel before they are destroyed. This is a time of extreme urgency." I encourage you, if you are not familiar with the identity of the modern identity of the ancient Israelite people, that's the United States and Britain, go online and request a free copy of our book, Mr. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. These prophecies pertain to America. Mr. Fleury goes on, "And notice, this is in the context of an end-time Jeroboam. When he says, I will not again pass by them anymore, God is talking about passing by them in the time of Jeroboam." He gets very specific. "This election was prophetic," Mr. Fleury writes. "We don't know how exactly God intervenes to orchestrate elections and other events, but we do know he puts his people in the middle of it all. In the midst of my people, Israel," that's Amos 7 and verse 8, "his people, God's people, have to be at the center, telling the world what is happening and what it all means. We have a limited time to get this work done. God is showing us that we are getting extremely close to the end. This could be our last elected president. This could be America's last election." It's a very urgent message from Mr. Fleury. And I thought, That phrase there, our last elected president, you think about how many people on the left said this president is illegitimate, he didn't actually win, and so on. Do you think they're really going to accept the results of the next election? What will 2020 be like? If you look at the way the Democrats are behaving right now, they did everything they could to try to undo the 2016 election. And democracy is barely hanging on. And based on the way the Democrats are behaving right now, it would be surprising if they even bother voting. It's almost like they've just given up on campaigning. They know they're not going to beat President Trump in 2020. Again, a fascinating phrase to keep in mind going into this next year. And remember that Mr. Fleury wrote these things in 2016. It will have been 4 years ago by the next election. Continuing on here in Amos 7, this is verse 9. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Mr. Fleury says, as our booklet explains on Amos, the high places of Isaac refer to the Laodicean church. The sanctuaries of Israel are the religions of this world, like the evangelicals. So you're seeing this king, this leader, mixed with that evangelical element. This strongly indicates that God is going to rise with the sword in the time of Jeroboam. The Moffat translation renders the end of verse 9 as, I will attack Jeroboam's house. When there is a type of Jeroboam on the scene, then God will send the sword upon his people because of all of its sins. It's because of America's sins that it must suffer. That should give us something to think about. So we are in this time period now, and Mr. Fleury is trumpeting that alarm. We must have urgency, and the events happening in America's capital should give us that urgency. We should be striving to understand what is happening there. Amos 7 and verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Mr. Fleury writes, the word conspired means that Amaziah is accusing God's prophet of treason. That is how Israel receives God's warning message today. Bethel means house of God. Amaziah the priest is referring to a Laodicean minister. Jeroboam is the king or leader of the superpower of Israel, and that's the United States, as he goes on to clarify later on. Mr. Fleury writes, Amaziah's message is, the land is not able to bear all his words. It is our words that the land cannot bear. That strongly indicates that there are serious problems plaguing the nation, or they wouldn't care what we say. But we have a message that they cannot bear because it's about their destruction. They want to close their minds to what is coming upon them. Later on, Mr. Fleury writes, and at the time of the end, Jeroboam is going to be laden with problems and difficulties. But his biggest problem is going to be the message of God coming out of this little church. Our message is going to plague him. This is what people in this land are going to fear most of all, not anarchy within or national chaos. God is forcing them to face the warning message of their own destruction. This is a problem Jeroboam never saw coming. So this is still yet to happen. This still is obviously in the future. The biggest problem that Jeroboam's going to face up against is this church's message. The land cannot bear those words. And you think about how strongly he's battling with the radical left right now. What will it be like when they're subdued and this message, he comes and takes on this message? Remember these statements from Mr. Gerald Fleury. This is a problem Jeroboam never saw coming. Continuing on, this is Amos 7 and verse 11. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. I don't have a lot of time to get into the identity of Amaziah, but read Mr. Gerald Fleury's book, Great Again, and that will explain the identity of this man and what he's doing. He is the leader of the Laodicean church. Amaziah is a very rebellious Laodicean minister, Mr. Fleury writes. And that minister is close to Jeroboam, and that minister, or Amaziah, is going to Jeroboam. And Amaziah hates this message. Again, Amos 7 and verse 11, for thus Amos saith, that this is Amaziah speaking to Jeroboam. And Amaziah doesn't say, for thus saith the Lord. Amaziah says, for thus Amos says. Mr. Fleury writes in that same coworker letter, Amos came with a thus saith the Lord message. Amos is just the messenger. So when Amaziah is talking about it, he's just looking at the man. He's looking at the man saying, so-and-so is saying this against you, Jeroboam. But really what Amos emphasizes is that this is from God. Thus saith the Lord. Mr. Fleury writes, God gives the messenger his message and says, go and deliver this to my people. The world doesn't want to believe this is from God. It's such a powerful message that you can't deny it is coming from God, but the world still tries. It's getting to the point where people can't bear it anymore. And then he goes on to write about Amos 7, verse 11, and where it says, and Israel shall surely be led away captive. And Israel, when you put that together with prophecies in Hosea 5 and verse 5, it's talking about the United States, it's talking about Britain, it's talking about Judah, and all of these nations fall at once. Mr. Fleury continues on, and remember, this is November 23rd, 2016, shortly after the election. He writes, Amos warned the people at the supreme moment of their success was... Excuse me, I'll start that over again. Amos warned the people at the supreme moment of their success, but the prelude to their doom. That's from Sansino Commentary. That is what we are looking at in this election victory. Some people believe there is good news in this election. The Republican side is ecstatic. Rush Limbaugh said, we just got our country back. But they did not. The good news is a mirage. It is a false hope. This is actually a prelude to America's doom. A man is coming on the scene whose house God is going to take out by the sword. They think this election was a great success, but it's really not. It may improve for a short time. It may even help the work of God, but its ultimate end is destruction. People are going to face the wrath of God until they repent. Now, when Mr. Fleury wrote that, November 23rd, 2016, he had not yet written about America being saved temporarily. He wrote, November 23rd, 2016, it may improve for a short time. It may even help the work of God. So he wrote that 3 years ago, and it's not until 2 years later that he starts writing about America being saved temporarily, and when he starts writing about 2 Kings 14, which we'll get into in a little bit. Now remember that timeline. Mr. Fleury is alluding to that resurgence. He's alluding to America being saved temporarily, but he doesn't point to that prophecy yet. He goes on to emphasize that this is talking about the United States. The United States is the superpower. We can skip ahead here to Amos 7 and verse 12 and 13. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Mr. Fleury writes, Amaziah is being directed by Jeroboam about what to say. He's saying, tell them to get out of here. This is the king's chapel, the president's domain. This is our religious place. Get out of this land because we will have none of that message. And again, this is another intriguing verse that over the last 3 years, God has given more and more depth to. And we'll get to that a little later on as well. But Mr. Fleury revisits this specific verse, Amos 7 and verse 13, at least two or three times over the past 3 years, and keeps adding depth. God keeps revealing more depth in this verse. This man, Mr. Fleury writes, becomes Jeroboam because he is fighting against God and God's work, along with Amaziah the priest, who is a spiritual Antiochus. Our modern-day Jeroboam does what Jeroboam did anciently. He turns Israel away from the message of God and the throne of David. He is opposing spiritual Jerusalem, as Jeroboam did against physical Jerusalem anciently. You can read that in 1 Kings 12. Mr. Fleury goes on, "When this nation can't take our message anymore, they will force us to Jerusalem. We will become outcasts. They will know a lot about our work and our involvement in Judah." Again, that is from the Coworker letter, November 23rd, 2016. Now, this is Jeroboam. This is the Jeroboam end, Amos 7. And that context, God not passing over again. This is the last time he will pass over. And this is that Jeroboam end. And now, how do you explain the temporary resurgence that we're going through, that Mr. Fleury has written about, that he alluded to in that coworker letter? How and where does that fit in? Why does God do it? Why does God save America temporarily? How does he do that before all of these prophecies here described in Amos 7? Well, we need context. We need the context of the Obama administration from 2009 to 2017, that Antiochus administration, the political Antiochus. That context is key to understanding what God is doing here. Revelation 12 and verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." This is what Mr. Fleury wrote in April of 2018. This is an article titled, "Nunes Memo Exposes Unseen Threat to America." And Mr. Fleury's written about this even earlier. It was back in 2013 when he published America Under Attack. But in this article in 2018, he writes, "Most people will heedlessly dismiss this warning. They do not consider the spiritual dimension to world events. This is why they fail to grasp their real significance." We have to understand the spiritual dimension to what is happening in the United States, or we'll never be able to understand it. We'll never be able to explain why these things are happening. Mr. Fleury goes on, "Revelation 12 and verse 12 speaks of a time when Satan is wrathful, because his time is short. We are in that time right now. The Nunes memo is evidence of just how active the devil is, particularly in his efforts to destroy America." And I won't get into all the details of the Nunes memo. We've talked about that on this show plenty. But look at this moment here, April 2018, and the Nunes memo. That's kind of like the first step in exposing that Antiochus administration coup attempt against the Trump administration. A lot of people were perplexed. They didn't know what was going on. All we heard about was Russia, Russia, Russia. Everyone in the Trump administration is colluding with Russia. And then Devin Nunes, he's a congressman from California. He is, at the time, he was the leader of the Congressional Intelligence Committee. And he wrote this memo that said, This is wrong. Everything they're saying about Russia is based on this dossier that was funded by the Clinton campaign. And he writes that memo, and Mr. Fleury titled that article, "Nunes Memo Exposes Unseen Threat to America." So the context here is that Antiochus administration and that transition into the Trump administration. And now it took, you know, until 2018 before that started to be exposed. Mr. Fleury, in that same article, gives a lot of the history about the ancient Antiochus and how Barack Obama fulfilled that in a political way. How often he would lie, how often he would say he loved the Constitution. He would say things like, "You know I tell the truth," but he would lie over and over and over again. Mr. Fleury writes in that article from April 2018, He says, not many observers of the Obama presidency recognize what was really happening. The reality is that President Obama hated and wanted to destroy the foundation of Western civilization, Judeo-Christian religion, and morality. His administration provided plenty of proof of Satan in action. This happened under the previous presidential administration, and the Nunes memo shows that it is still happening under high-ranking FBI and Justice Department officials planted there by Barack Obama during his presidency. Mr. Fleury writes, I am not looking at this through the lens of politics. I look at what is happening from God's perspective. When you do that, you can discern when the devil is at work. Again, vital context that we have to have when we view these events. We cannot take it from a political approach. We have to look at it from God's perspective. And again, going back to this context of America being saved temporarily, that administration, if you read Daniel 8 and verse 12, they cast down truth to the ground. That is what America was dealing with from 2009 to 2017. Mr. Fleury writes, the radical left has attempted to use the Russia investigation to cripple the Trump presidency. They don't just want to wrest control from Mr. Trump. They are trying to take control of the government forever. They are working hard to smash the last remaining obstacles, preventing them from accumulating so much power over the country that no one can do a thing about it. The radical left is lawless. They are satanically sick. These people no longer deal in logic because they have been overwhelmed by the devil. These are strong words from Mr. Fleury. He writes, We live in a dangerous time. Satan is cast down. Read Revelation 12 and verse 9 through 12. Satan is cast down, and the Nunes memo is proof of that. Satan and his demons are trampling on America. These are amazing things to read about in Bible prophecy, and it's easy to dismiss a lot of this because, well, it's politics in Washington, D.C., and I don't have time for that. Mr. Fleury says the Nunes memo is proof, adds further proof that Satan is cast down. He goes on to say, why would God allow this to happen? Look again at the prophecy in Daniel 8. Daniel 8 and verse 12 reveals that it is by reason of transgression, meaning revolt, rebellion, and lawlessness, that the truth is being cast to the ground. America is filled with sin, and we all want to blame the other person. Everyone blames the other party. But those sins are what allows these things to happen. And there hasn't been a national repentance. There hasn't been a massive turnaround. So why is God doing what he's doing? Why save America temporarily? Why the Jeroboam end here, as Mr. Fleury explains? God has mercy, and like Mr. Fleury wrote, he measures that destruction. He shows people where they're wrong, and he exposes that evil for people to see. I mean, there's a lot of rot being exposed right now in the United States, and people are going to be held accountable for what they know when they see all of that and they say, wow, it was worse than I thought. God is kind of leaving them without excuse. Mr. Fleury writes, we are witnessing a government and a nation on the verge of collapse. In fact, all this shocking behavior from government officials and the national press shows that the nation only narrowly averted the destruction of the fundamental nature of the Constitutional Republic, and it will prove to be only a temporary deliverance. Now that is from Mr. Fleury's May-June 2018 article, Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily. Only narrowly averted the destruction. It's a temporary deliverance. And what is that based off of? We'll get to that in a few minutes. And now more of this is being strung together with Bible prophecy. What is happening in the United States? How did we go from an Antiochus administration to the Jeroboam administration, and we're having this brief resurgence? And then you have to factor in all of the things happening in Amos 7. Well, all of it can be explained in the Bible. Mr. Fleury goes on to write about all of the law-breaking that was going on in the Obama administration and the lead-up to that transition to the Trump administration, and all of the holdovers, the deep state. They sacrificed the Constitution to remain in power. Mr. Fleury writes in that Saving America article, "We are getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power." Later on, he says, "Had Hillary Clinton been elected, the destructive trends that unfolded during the Obama presidency would have continued unchecked, and they surely would have intensified. Many people, including me, believe it would have meant an end to our constitutional republic. We were brought right to the brink. And Donald Trump, it's not his character that is saving America. It's not his morality that's saving America." Mr. Fleury writes, "He's a man with serious problems, but the radical left is relentlessly waging war against the president and leading this country to its destruction. And it was only Mr. Trump's election that prevented even worse troubles from bringing this nation down even more quickly. The trend is down. America is not turned back to God. But what is happening here right at the end, right in this Jeroboam end, this last time that God passes over?" Mr. Fleury, in that article, again, goes back and talks about the parallels with ancient Jeroboam. Again, take note of these articles. I'll include them in the description. But these are massive articles with profound truths in them, with deep revelation in them. And these will probably be timeless articles that we'll be reading for years. So we have the context now. Right before the Trump administration, obviously, there is that Antiochus administration, and now we are in the Jeroboam end. And you have to stitch all of these prophecies together. Again, no man could just do this reading the Bible. This has to be inspired. So from Amos 7, and now we know we're in the Jeroboam end, you skip over to 2 Kings 14. Look at what's written about Jeroboam II. Stitch these prophecies together. 2 Kings 14 and verse 23, it says, "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. Again, Jeroboam is reigning in Samaria, over Israel, over that northern country. And verse 24 says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Eternal. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." So he is not a righteous man. He's committed the same sins that all of the other kings of Israel have committed. Mr. Fleury writes, "Nevertheless, the Bible records something remarkable. God actually used this unrighteous king to help the nation." Read verse 25. Mr. Fleury goes on, "Israel was still in a sinful state. Jeroboam II followed in the same rebellious traditions of the past, so it wasn't because of the repentance or righteousness of the Israelites in their king that it experienced this resurgence. Why then did God bless the nation in ways not seen since Solomon?" And these are these two pivotal scriptures here. 2 Kings 14, verse 26 through 27, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel," the affliction of Israel, remember that phrase, "that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." Verse 27, "And the Eternal said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." Mr. Fleury writes, "Israel was in bitter affliction, on the verge of collapse. If God had not intervened, then the devil's plan to blot out the name of Israel would have prevailed. But God granted mercy when Israel really didn't deserve it. Rather than sending Israel into captivity at that time, God used this king to save Israel and give them one more age of prosperity before Assyrian conquest. God saved Israel by the hand of King Jeroboam II. So that was anciently, and now we're seeing the same thing happen today with this end-time Jeroboam leading Israel. Mr. Fleury writes, this resurgence, what the United States is going through, was not because of any personal greatness or leadership skill by Jeroboam. It was because God took pity on Israel in its affliction. It was because God did not want the name of Israel blotted out. It was because God saved Israel, and that resurgence was temporary. Not long after, Israel was conquered and its people dispersed in captivity to the Assyrians. Mr. Fleury goes on, for 8 years under President Obama, the forces of the radical left were on the march, virtually unchecked. Even Republican leaders caved in, and that was after they had taken control of Congress and had a lot of power to stop the president. Donald Trump has proved himself willing to take a stand where others have not. It's quite something to behold him resisting these anti-Trump forces. He has inspired a few other leaders to challenge the radical left and help expose it for what it is. When you compare what this president is doing to what his predecessor did, there has been a clear change in direction, one that will slow the speed at which America is being pulled apart. He is not trashing the Constitution, as the previous president did. He has passed tax cuts that will help many American families. He has rolled back the universal health care mandate and removed regulations that were hurting American businesses. The stock market has broken new records. We are seeing what I wrote in Great Again, that after President Trump took office, conditions in America may improve for a short time. See, Mr. Fleury wrote that in Great Again. He wrote that in that 2016 coworker letter. He wrote it before the resurgence. He wrote, conditions in America may improve for a short time. And then God revealed these prophecies that explain exactly why and how that is happening. I mean, he talked a lot about Amos 7, that feast in 2016, but it wasn't until 2018 that he started talking about 2 Kings 14. And those verses that explain why and how America is experiencing this brief resurgence. It's God saving it by the hand of Jeroboam. Mr. Fleury writes, it is critical that we realize why this resurgence. God himself is pushing back against the Satan-inspired forces that would have destroyed this nation. He is exposing those forces so we can see them clearly. And he is using a man to save the superpower of prophetic Israel, the United States, temporarily. Now, how does God expose them? Remember, he wrote this article. This was in the May-June 2018 Trumpet magazine, and that's right in the thick of the Mueller investigation. I think it actually, Mueller might have, yeah, it ended almost a year later. It almost went on for 18 months. Almost 2 years. So the radical left, they're still in control, more or less. The deep state is still there in power. The Mueller investigation is going on. This coup to bring down the president is still going. And we learned quite a bit about the radical left during that time. The Nunes memo, as Mr. Fleury wrote, exposed what was going on. But now we know even more. It keeps more and more keeps getting exposed. And who could have known that all of this corruption would be exposed? It's been covered up for so long. The media covered it up all 8 years of the Antiochus administration. And now, finally, almost 4 years into the Trump administration, we're learning all of the gross details, all of the rot that was going on there. Again, Mr. Fleury is writing this May-June of 2018, that God will expose those forces so we can see them clearly. This is before Bill Barr is even nominated to be Attorney General. This is before Bill Barr even wrote his memo in June of 2018. Mr. Fleury wrote that these forces would be exposed so we can see them clearly before Jeff Sessions was pushed out of office, obviously. And he recused himself. He wasn't doing any exposing. There was the Nunes memo, but no one would act on it. Devin Nunes was a pariah. He was demonized by the radical left. And then remember in 2018, November of that year, the Republicans, Devin Nunes loses his position there as the majority. And Adam Schiff takes over. So how is this going to be exposed? Mr. Fleury is writing that it will be, but Devin Nunes, the primary one working to do that, he loses his position as chairman of the Intelligence Committee. Bill Barr is not even thought of at this stage. But Mr. Fleury is writing that this will be exposed. How and why? He goes on, again, in that same article. Actually, this is from later on. This is November. This is after the elections, those midterm elections. He writes, just as there is a spiritual power behind this destructive force in America today, there is a spiritual reason for this force, that this force is being so dramatically exposed right now. It is because God wants it exposed, and he is exposing it. That was after all of the Kavanaugh hearings, that whole scandal and that mess. And that was when the Republicans got control of the Supreme Court. Mr. Fleury wrote in that same article, the Kavanaugh hearings reveal America's lawless spirit. He wrote that God wanted that cancer exposed. We all need to think seriously about why. And the responsibility that puts on us individually. God is seeing to it that world events fulfill prophecies he recorded in the Bible millennia ago. That is what should be driving our watching of these events. That's what should motivate us to watch these events. God is seeing to it that world events fulfill prophecies he recorded in the Bible millennia ago, and it goes to stunning detail. Mr. Fleury goes on, God is watching over and guiding events in America. If we were not, this nation would already be destroyed. This is how serious and how precarious America's situation is. Again, going back to that measuring statement. God says he's careful about measuring that destruction. God is holding it up. That's what Mr. Fleury has written. God is saving Israel temporarily. If the 2016 election had gone the other way, I am convinced, Mr. Fleury writes, that the nation would already be finished. And in this latest battle, if Republicans had not confirmed Kavanaugh, to me, that would have indicated that we had already seen the last vestige of resistance to the left extinguished. They would have won. The left would have controlled the courts. It would have gone, the Supreme Court would have been split. The decisions in the lower courts would stand, and they're far more liberal. So January 2019, after Kavanaugh is in office, Mr. Fleury's writing about the Supreme Court again. And we have to use the Bible to understand why this is happening. Like Mr. Fleury wrote, God is intricately and intimately involved in these events. And in that article of January 2019, Mr. Fleury again goes back to that passage in Amos 7 and verse 13. And there's even more depth revealed. Notice the phrase in Amos 7 and verse 13, the king's chapel and it is the king's court. The king's court is referring to, I'll just go ahead and read it from Mr. Fleury here. He says, prophesy not any more at Bethel, Amaziah says, referring to the capital city. We could liken that to Washington, D.C. today, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. When this says the king's chapel, it is talking about a place of worship that belongs to the king. When in Amos 7 and verse 13, Amaziah says it is the king's court, The word kings is a different Hebrew word than when he talked about the king's chapel. It means kingdom. This is not a religious entity. It is something else, the nation's house. It is not something that is following Jeroboam, yet it favors him. It is helping him in some way. What is this referring to prophetically? I believe this non-religious entity, the kingdom's house, is referring to the United States Supreme Court. So, Jeroboam has control now. He has control of the Supreme Court. And look at how these prophecies, how they interlock. Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14, God says that this is the Jeroboam end, but in that period, I will save America temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam. And then you bounce back over to Amos 7 and verse 13, and that's describing the control that Jeroboam has. And it's that control, it's through those means that God practically is saving America. They have control. Mr. Fleury, later on, he writes in this article, this is the latest one that he's written, this is from August 2019. It's titled, "Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government?" Now it seems that the harder the president's enemies work to destroy him, the more their own wicked ways are uncovered. Isaiah 1 and verse 4 through 6 is an end-time prophecy that applies directly to America. It says the whole head is sick, talking about corruption in the government. We are getting a stark look at just how grave this sickness is. It's being exposed, the rot of those previous administrations, or of that Antiochus administration. And then after this article, this is after Bill Barr is appointed Attorney General, Mr. Fleury writes, "Now the new Attorney General, William Barr, is doing some investigating of his own. So we are going to learn even more about just how deep the rot goes." Mr. Fleury already said it's going to be exposed, but it really, at the time that he wrote that 3 years ago, or sorry, 2 years ago, it was easy to wonder, well, how is that going to happen? These people have been getting away with this for so long. Bill Barr wasn't around. Devin Nunes in 2018, he wasn't around and he could barely do anything as it was. They didn't have any power. They didn't have any control. They weren't in positions to expose. But now you look at where we are now, a year or two after Mr. Fleury wrote that these things would be exposed, and you have the Supreme Court in favor of Jeroboam. You have an investigator like Bill Barr who is actually concerned about the Constitution and investigating all of that rot that was going on. Mr. Fleury writes, "Biblical prophecy indicates that there will be something of a turnaround, though, and that President Trump will actually gain more control of these government agencies that have been working to unseat him." And again, go back to that context. Look at 2 Kings 14, verse 26. "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel." How bad was that affliction? Israel was about to be destroyed, Mr. Fleury wrote. He says in that same article, "Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government?" Mr. Fleury, he's talking about that affliction referenced in 2 Kings 14, verse 26. "At that time, anciently, Satan was trying to blot out the name of Israel. If you understand it, Israel has everything to do with God's master plan to save humanity. The book of Kings is one of the former prophets. That means it is prophecy for today. Satan still wants to blot out Israel, of which America is the most powerful modern descendant. This prophecy," referring to 2 Kings 14, "this prophecy shows that the primary problem in America that God has to save Israel from today is the spirit of Antiochus. That man's influence continues to plague America today through the deep state, which he largely controlled. For America to be saved, those agencies need to be cleaned up, and made to abide by the rules. If they are driven by ideology rather than the Constitution and the law, then they will quickly turn America into a tyrannical state. That is what happens without government to implement the law, and that is what America was close to experiencing. But something happened to stop that, at least temporarily. Again, in that article, Mr. Fleury goes back again to Amos 7 and verse 13. And there's even more depth to that phrase, the king's court. And at this stage, this is August 2019, and I think this is based on a sermon that he had given back in May. He's talking about the president, or Jeroboam, having more control of those institutions in Washington, those institutions where the deep state resided, the ones trying to thwart him and bring him down. Mr. Fleury goes on to write, "It is logical this prophecy is talking about these government structures or agencies. After all, if Jeroboam is going to be used to save Israel, he would need the law on his side. He wouldn't be able to use the government like he needed to without the legal structure behind him. He needs that power. The leader of end-time Israel in Amos 7 has a lot of power, but he has had to fight to get that power and hold it." Again, look at how these prophecies interlock. Amos 7, end-time, saving America temporarily from that affliction, from the Antiochus administration. How is it done? Amos 7 and verse 13 says that the king has that control, and that allows him to expose it. God is very practical about it. God is saving America by the hand of Jeroboam. God reveals why he exposes that rot, and then he reveals how it will be done. And you look at where we are now. Look at just a few months ago when Mueller's report finished, and Bill Barr comes in just before that and right after the Kavanaugh hearings, and Barr sets that trap for Mueller, and it just ruins that investigation. It ruins their lawless attempt to bring down President Trump. And then quickly, Bill Barr turns around and says, "We're going to investigate how this was started." And he starts his own investigation. Mr. Fleury writes, "I believe that God had a hand in Mr. Barr coming along. Somebody had to come in, reverse what the Obama administration had done, and help Jeroboam save Israel." Look at how detailed this is getting. Look at these events happening in the United States and how it plays into these prophecies. How many of these things Mr. Fleury wrote about or alluded to, and how God backed them up with Scripture. Again, Mr. Fleury writes, "Amos 7 verse 13 indicates that the president is going to gain control of what is done in those powerful federal buildings and be able to rule the country, saved temporarily. God is exposing that rot. Look at how he lined up events to expose that rot so that people could see it, so that they could see the evil. But do they really repent? Do they really turn to God? No, they look at Jeroboam, and he takes all the credit. And then just like Amos 7 says, just like 2 Kings 14, they're right at that peak of that resurgence, and then they're brought down. Again, the theme that I've been trying to emphasize through all of this is that these events need to be explained through the lens of the Bible. Mr. Fleury wrote in April of 2017, this is an article titled, "Who is the Modern Day Jeroboam?" He says, "America has different messages coming from Republicans and Democrats, but the only message that will prevail is 'Thus saith the Lord.' Nothing else will succeed. This world must understand that." You can take sides and you can argue against another person, and you could, kind of side with the Republicans a little bit maybe on some issue, but they don't have the answers. Jeroboam is not personally saving America. America hasn't repented. Neither side has the answers. Mr. Fleury says, the only message that will prevail is thus saith the Lord, this message that the land cannot bear. These are amazing times to be living through, and you cannot explain it without what has been revealed to this church. The radical left are in a fit of rage. They're doing anything they can to get power. The right, they're so upset at the left, and they're finally speaking up and taking a stand, but they don't have the answers either. Again, like Mr. Fleury says, the only message that will prevail is thus saith the Lord. And I'll conclude today's show by going back to that November 23rd, 2016 co-worker letter from Mr. Fleury. He writes, understanding where we are in prophecy, when God is giving his last warning to Israel in the time of the Jeroboam end, should stir us to continue and increase our support for God's work, if possible. We are that final measuring and warning work. This should inspire our effort and stir us with a sense of responsibility. What a blessing to be working with God and to be mindful of what lies ahead. That is all I have time for today on this Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you have any comments, feel free to send them to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.